Okay, so our preaching series is called The Big Life. And my title is Believe Big. Believe Big. This is a faith message. I'm talking about believing big. Now, we need to believe big because God is big. We have a big God. So we need to partner with Him to do big things. Why don't you tell the person next to you, believe big. So we are going to be believing big. And we are talking about a God who is so big. He lives forever. He is huge. And we have a big God. So we need to partner with Him to do big things. He had no beginning and He will have no end. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, from eternity to eternity, you are God. We're talking about the God who spoke words and the universe was created. We are talking about the God who flicked the stars out into space and then named them all. He blows my mind. He is so huge. When I think that every star is a sun in another universe, we are talking big, people. And we've got to stretch our belief to line up with big because He is big. Big is what He is. He is not a small God. He is a big God who thinks big. You thought Rob Muldoon thought big? He ain't got nothing on the Lord. God has big plans. He has got big plans for you. He has got big plans for your family, for your city, for your nation, and for this planet. He also still cares about the small things in our lives. But He also wants us to believe Him for more of His intervention in our world. He wants us to grow and dream bigger and see bigger like He does. We don't ever want to allow fear or our small thinking to become a blockage for what God wants to do in and through us. We've got to see further. We've got to believe bigger. We've got to get bigger in our thinking and in our vision and in our faith. And I am here today to tell you that we've all got to get bigger. Well, I don't want to get bigger. I'm already trying to downsize for summer. I'm already trying to squeeze in to my Speedos for the beach. Oh, that was a bad visual right then. Lord, have mercy. Tell the person next to you, throw your Speedos away. Amen. That was a word from God for some people right then. We may think we're big enough, but God says there's more to come. We've got to prophesy to ourselves. We've got to prophesy that we've got to get bigger. If we're not believing God to grow or change anything in our lives or in our families or in our city or our nation, then our revelation of God is too small. If we are only ever expect to do minimal things for God, things that we can actually achieve in our own strength, then we don't even need God. And if our vision is so small that we can achieve it on our own, in our own strength, then we have just factored God out of the equation. And that is a scary place for a Christian to be. When we can do it all ourselves and we don't even need God to come through for us for anything. And if we're only into doing our own thing in our own strength, why even bother coming to church? Why not just go to the Rotary Club? You know, here is the thing. The devil is wanting to shrink your life. He is wanting to contain you and keep you small. He wants you to think small. He wants you to live small where you don't influence anyone at all for Jesus. He wants to shrink your life down to a point where you don't need to believe God for anything anymore. To where you're just happy. You're just comfortable in yourself. You've got enough insurance. You're independent. You've got your retirement plan where you don't take any risks because you're a bit scared. And just to where it's all about you. It's easy to let our fears and our bad experiences in our past shrink our world down to a safe level where we never take any risks, where we never believe God for anything anymore because we just want to play it safe and be in our comfort zone. We just want to have enough for our family, for our own needs. Yes, we've got enough for us four and no more. And we don't need to step out in faith or believe God for something new because we've got it all worked out for ourselves. We don't even need God to come through. We don't even need to put a prayer request in at church because we don't have any needs at all. And we're not believing God for expansion or enlargement in any way. Nothing new is happening. I've just got it all under control. But before you know it, we've stopped serving God and we're actually serving ourselves, which is how unbelievers live, which is how the world does it. They have it all worked out themselves and they don't need God. But that is not how we roll. We are the people of God. We are the children of the light. We are the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. We are Jesus' followers. And we have to be totally and utterly dependent on him every day of our lives. And today, he wants to lift us up out of our fears so we can start to believe God again. And not only believe God, but believe big. Believe big. And if our vision is so small that we can achieve it all ourselves with our own finance, with our own resources, with our own time, then it's actually probably not from God. Because God tells us big stuff, crazy stuff that we think that's impossible. I can never do that. God, will you please ask someone else? That's the language he speaks. You know, after a while, God probably gets bored with our small reoccurring vision. It's like he said, come on, is that all you got? He wants to get involved with something that's so big that he's interested in it, that it's so out there that you actually need God Almighty to get on board with it or it ain't going to happen. Let's not limit God with a dream that's too small. William Carey said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Not small things, great things. Today is the day when you got to start to believe bigger than we have believed before. We've got to believe big. Let's look at Ephesians 3:20. Yeah. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church. I'm not sure what's happened to my PowerPoint. But anyway, Ephesians 3:20. That's the NIV. The New Living says, who can accomplish infinitely more than all we ask or think. The New American Standard, far more abundantly beyond whatever you can dream up. Whatever you could imagine, think about your marriage, think about your family, think about your influence, think about what you could do for the Lord. Just think about how amazing that could be. God's saying, no, there's more. I can do more. I want to do more than that. You get the brightest picture in your mind that you can about your life and how it could be used for God. God says there's more. I'm thinking greater. I'm thinking more. I'm thinking higher. We've got to lift our thinking up to what he is thinking. Whatever we could ever dream up or imagine or ask him, he can do immeasurably, infinitely more. Say more. More. We've got to believe big. I believe. We've got to believe what he believes. God is well able to perform his promises. And this book is full of them. I love it when you're reading away and God gives you a word, a rhema word. And it just gets into your spirit. And you know that promise is for you right now. That is a word from God. And you got to underline those and stand on them. I like to write them out and put them on a bit of cardboard or something up in my room so I see it every day. And I've seen God's promises come to pass like that. And I know many of you have too. It's awesome. And if you've got your Bible here, why don't you just hold up your Bible? Some of you, it's your phone. Why don't you just kiss your Bible? Say, I love you, Bible. This is the word of God. You know, you don't have the word of God in your hand right now because your parents gave it to you or because you went down to a Christian bookshop and bought it. We have the word of God today because some people paid for it with their blood. Some people gave their lives so we could have this book. People like William Tyndale who were burned at the stake so that common people could read the Bible in their own language. And he was killed for smuggling it into England and distributing it amongst the common people. I thank God we have a Bible and we must not ever take that for granted. God is more than able to fulfill every promise he has made, and there's thousands of them in this book. There are no limitations in receiving from God according to his promises. No limits. Say that with me. No limits. Say it louder. No limits. Shout it out. No limits. That's right. He wants to smash off limitations this morning, off our mind, off our subconscious mind, off our thinking, off our vision. We've got to let those limitations that the world has put in our thinking fall off, today in Jesus' name. Because there are some people here who used to, I felt like the Lord said, some people who used to dream big and now they don't even dream at all. And he wants to put a new dream back into your heart today. Some of us have had limits on our thinking all our lives, and it's even generational. And we don't even know they're there. They are subconscious limits. And sometimes they're part of our culture or our family of origin. And we don't even realize that they form part of our thinking and part of our self-image. And we can think these things, and we don't even really know we're thinking them. Things like, well, no one in my family has ever been to university, so I can't. Well, no one in my family has ever traveled far beyond Australia, so I can't. Well, no one in my family has ever owned their own home, so I can't. Well, no one in my family has ever stayed married for life, so I can't. Well, no one in my family is even very happy, so I can't be either. I've just got to lower my expectations because this is who I am. That's wrong. Because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And you don't need to think I can't anymore, because the Lord is saying, yes, you can. Yes, you can. It is a new day and you're under a new covenant now. When you walk with God, he leads you into new ground and into new things. We know he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he is constantly doing new things. Isaiah 43:19 says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? He wants to lead us into these new things today. And that is going to involve believing bigger than we have before, because he has got more for us. There is new territory just ahead. In your life, he is taking you by the hand and leading you into new spiritual ground where you haven't been before. So we've got to stretch our believing. We've got to switch on our faith engine and get it revving higher than we ever have before, because there is more ground yet for us to take. He wants you to believe bigger for your family. God wants it to be like heaven on earth. He wants you to believe bigger for your marriage, that it can be better than it has ever been before. He wants you to believe bigger for your influence, so you can impact your world for Jesus. He wants us to think bigger in everything, in our finances, so we can be free and not enslaved to debt. We're talking about bigger in everything, because he is bigger. And he is not going to adapt to our small ways. We've actually got to adapt to his and grow and be stretched. It's like he's saying to us today, come on up here with me into my presence. This is where dreams come from, when we're in the presence of God. He wants to show us the view. He's saying the view is better up here. Come up and see what I see. I want you to see new things. I want you to see new horizons. I want you to see where you're going to be going. I want to show you where you're going. I want you to see further than you've seen before. He wants us to see what he sees for this city, for this nation, for this planet, so we can partner with him in prayer and play a part in bringing these things down from the heavenly realms down into our reality, into the earthly realms. And he wants us to see what he sees for our own lives. He wants to show us things for the future so we can walk into them with boldness, not with timidity. Oh, I don't think I belong here. Oh, they must have got the wrong guy. But with confidence, yes. Standing firm, taking your place, saying, yes, God has put me here for such a time as this. And why not you? Why not you? You're a child of God. You're born again. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You are exactly the kind of person that God wants to use and promote and show off. So back yourself. Tell the person next to you, back yourself. That's right. Back yourself. Because you and the Lord make a great team. Sometimes the real reason why we don't expect or attempt great things for God is because we are scared we'll fail. We're scared we'll look silly. Or we tried once before and fell over. But when we fall over, we've got to get back up again, because we've got to be an overcomer. So often we can think, well, I had a go once, but I had a setback. We all have setbacks. Jesus had a setback too. Jesus' setback was quite serious. He was killed. He was dead. D-E-D, dead. But he came back from that, resurrected. And we are made in his likeness. We are following his example. So whenever we're struck down, we need to get up again and have another go. And that is what being an overcomer is all about. 1 John 5:4 says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Being an overcomer means there will be things thrown at us that we'll have to overcome. But we will do what he's called us to do by his grace, by believing big in him, in faith. And to do that, we're going to need to switch on our faith. So our first main scripture was Ephesians 3:20. Our second main scripture is here, Hebrews 1 verse 1. You can write that down or turn to it. Hebrews 1, you know it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Other versions say faith is confidence, it's a reality, it's the surety of things hoped for, the assurance and the conviction of things unseen. The Greek word is hypostasis, or something like that, sounds like tongues. It means a support, a groundwork, an essence. So faith is something real inside of us. It is real. It is a substance. It's not just an idea. It is a real thing inside it. It's like a confident knowing. It's our internal believing machine. And it is more real than what our five senses can tell us. It is an inner assurance that you have from God inside you. It's like, yes, I know God is going to fulfill this promise even before he does it. You know, and so you've got peace about it. You've got joy about it. And we get excited in anticipation because it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. God causes us to know and be certain of these invisible things. And it's like, how can that happen? This is a spiritual deal. And this faith, this confident knowing inside of us, it's not just an idea. It's not just a feeble hope. It's actually real. It has substance. And there's fruit from it. The fruit of it is joy. The fruit of it is peace. The fruit of it is confidence. And people will be looking at you, but you've got peace because you're in faith. You've got joy. And they're like, aren't you worried? You should be worried. Don't be irresponsible. Worry. Aren't you worried? And you're like, no, because I know God's got it sorted. How do you know? How do you know? I just know in here. And there's no reason externally you should know, but you know. Because you know the Lord has shown you that what you've been believing is going to be answered. We get excited about the answer before we even have the answer. God responds to our faith when we believe big in him. Did you know that God does not respond to need? He responds to faith. If God responded to need, there would not be a developing world that is in starvation. He responds to people believing in faith. I love Pastor Phil Pringle in his book, Faith. He said, faith is the currency of heaven. And also he said, faith is the language God speaks. We've got to learn to speak God's language. And faith is the one thing we Christians need more than anything else. Anyone who ever did anything great for God in the Bible was a man or a woman of faith. And we can't afford to settle down and take it easy and stay static. The kingdom of God is not static. It is ever-increasing kingdom. It's always enlarging. And in your situation, I want to ask you something. In fact, why don't you close your eyes for a moment to visualize it. In your situation, in your life, I want to ask you, what do you see? What do you see? Not with your physical eyes, but what do you see with your spirit? Sometimes we can just see the problems. Sickness, pain, debt, lack, shame, conflict. But I'm asking you today, what do you see supernaturally? What are you carrying inside of you? What is it that's yet future that God has given you like a dream that he knows he wants you to bring to pass? He wants to bring it to pass through your life. Why don't you open your eyes? You know, those of us who've been pregnant, we remember when we were pregnant, they give you a scan and they put all this jelly stuff on your puku and then they put this thing down and they look at the screen and then they can tell you whether it's a boy, excuse me, or a girl, and you can see this little baby up there on the screen. You can see what's inside you on the screen by looking up at the screen. So here's a challenge. If the Lord was to come and put one of those on your spirit, what would he see that is inside of you today? What would he see that you are carrying in your spirit? What is it you are carrying inside you? Some of you have got businesses in there. Some of you have got amazing ideas in there. Some of you have got songs in your spirit that are yet to come out and be heard and sung and give praise to God. Some of you have got ministries in there. Some of you have got whole families in there. It's getting crowded. What do you see? What are you carrying in your spirit? I see thousands more in City Church. I see at least three more centers and new buildings as well being built. I see Tauranga becoming more and more a stronghold for the kingdom of God, with many people being trained up in this place and released. I see our nation with the hand of God's favor and blessing falling afresh of it on it, with many, many people being swept into the kingdom of God. What do you see? What are you carrying in your spirit? Because we've got to partner with God and believe big. And believing big in faith is the one thing that will keep you in God. Because our faith, when we believe big in God, makes future events come into present realities for us. You know, I felt like God wanted us to have four kids before we had any kids. And I know you're never allowed to talk about your teenagers in church, especially into a microphone, because they really don't like that. But none of them are in here today. So I just have a newfound freedom in my life right now. And we felt like God had told us we would have four kids. And they would go boy, girl, girl, boy. And so we got all the names ready for all of them. And in fact, back before we even met, when we just started going out, Alan and I realized that his mum and dad were called James and Mary. And my grandparents were called James and Mary. And his middle name was James and my middle name was Mary. And we felt like it was a sign from God that we should get married. So we did. And we always wanted four. Because the Lord said, go forth and multiply. And so we didn't just want two kids. Because that's not multiplication. That's just addition. That's just replacing yourself. We wanted four. Because if you only have three, there's always one on the chairlift by themselves. So we wanted four. And we had all these names ready. And then God gave us four. Caleb, James, Kirsten, Mary. So we put the James and Mary thing in there. It's still happening. Sarah, Joy, and Andre, Joshua. I was excited about those four kids before any one of them arrived. I'd pray for them by name. Because we knew they were coming, because we had the substance of faith within us. Do you know, I almost stopped at number three. When I was pregnant with number three, I was like, oh God, this is just, I'm over this. The novelty has well and truly worn off. I can't fit anything. I've got no clothes that fit me. I feel like the backside of a bus. I'm going to have to ring Bay Marquee Hire to just get something to wear to church. This is just, I'm just over this. Reflux and vomiting. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit got in my face and encouraged me and said, come on, there's just one more after this. There's just one more after this. And he started showing me things about Andre that he hadn't shown me that much detail about the other kids. It's like he's holding this carrot out in front of me. Come on, just a bit further. There's just one more. Don't stop prematurely. And he reminded me of that this morning. And I felt like he's saying, for some of you, there is more. Don't stop where you are because you're tired. Don't stop where you are because you're overwhelmed. Keep going. There's still more. There's still more to come. Because the Lord has got stuff in heaven that he wants to bring to pass through our lives and in our lifetimes. It's important that we see it in faith and pull it into our reality through prayer on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see what God's doing in heaven and release it onto earth in prayer. Our faith gives reality to things that are unseen. And our last scripture is Luke 2:25, verse 32. I'm going to read it to you. This is about an awesome guy who got to touch Jesus. Luke 2:25-32. His name was Simeon. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Lord, you can take me home now because I have seen with my own eyes what you promised me, and you have brought it to pass. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. He went on to pray for the parents and bless them and prophesy over them. Do you know Simeon got a download from the Holy Spirit of what was going to happen, that he would live long enough to see the Messiah with his own eyes. And Simeon was living close enough to the Father to hear his voice. It says the Holy Spirit told him that. This is before the Holy Spirit was poured out. I wonder if Simeon told anyone what the Holy Spirit had told him. I bet he would have had an internal argument with himself. Like, did I really hear that from God? Was that God, or was that just me making it up? That can't be right. Who am I? Who am I that I would get to see the Messiah? Why would God pick me? I'm a nobody. This is crazy. But Simeon had the audacity to believe God. He had the audacity to believe big. Say, believe big. We've got to believe big. He accepted God's revelation and believed it. And he kept looking forward to it in expectation. He was watching every day, waiting patiently. The Bible describes him as devout and righteous. He was living with the hope that he would see Jesus. And his whole life centered around this. And he chose to live in Jerusalem, near the house of God. He was in God's house when the promise showed up. He was positioned by faith. He was in the right place at the right time. He positioned himself in the house of God. Do you know, when we position ourselves in the house of God, living with our whole lives centered around Jesus, with the Holy Spirit upon us, we will see what we have been believing for. We will see it fulfilled, just as he did. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. Is the Holy Spirit upon you today? If you're not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, Sakaria Sabura, or something like that, come down here on the altar call in just a few moments, and we'd love to lay hands on you, and you can get filled with the power of God so you can hear God's voice too, just like Simeon did. He was moved by the Holy Spirit to be a seeker of Jesus. All the other priests missed it. All the Pharisees missed it. But Simeon was tuned in enough to the Lord to hear his voice. And he was the first person other than Jesus' parents to have touched and handled the Savior. And he got to be the first person to lay hands on Jesus and pray a blessing over him and prophesy about him and over his parents. Because he believed God. He believed big. Believing big is sometimes scary. We often dismiss the big. It's easy to discount ourselves from being used by God if it's a great thing or a big thing, because we know our own weaknesses so well. And we think, oh God, don't involve me in your plan. I'll stuff it up. Somehow I know. But he knows all about our weaknesses, and his plans are not dependent on us anyway. And whether we're having a good, bad, or ugly day, it's all got to be dependent on his power anyway. Like Simeon, we need to be seekers of Jesus with the Holy Spirit upon us, positioned in the house of God. Let's stand this morning, shall we? And then we'll be in the right place at the right time to fulfill all God has called us to do. I want to ask you today, what are you believing big for in God today? Let's close our eyes. We want to decide today, I'm not going to be passive anymore. I'm going to start to believe big. I'm going to do what God has called me to do by his grace, by his power. And he is releasing dreams again. There are people here today, and God's saying, I want you to believe big again in your marriage. I want you to believe big again in that ministry, in that dream I've given you. I want you to believe big again in your finances. It's time to believe big again in Jesus' name. If that's you, why don't you put your hand up? You know God's been speaking to you and challenging you. Lift your hands to the Lord if that's you this morning. Father, I pray for those uplifted hands to you, that you would release afresh right now. Dreams, visions, imaginations. Oh Lord, that things will be released in your, by your Spirit to them right now and implanted in their spirit, that they would once again carry what you have called them to carry. Thank you, Lord God. There are things being released right now in Jesus' name into marriages, into ministries, into futures, into businesses, into all sorts of things in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.